So here's the big question. You're interested in value investing and valuing and evaluating businesses on a deep level, but you don't know how, even after researching for hours, probably dozens of hours, hundreds of hours on the internet, and because nobody else shows you how to do it. This podcast has all those answers and much more about value investing and finance. My name is Jason Rivera. Welcome to Value Investing in Your Car.
Before I get to that, though, I need to let you know you can get this series podcast anywhere in the world for free on all major podcasting platforms, Stitcher, Anchor, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, and more. You can get this as part of the Value Investing in a Car series anywhere in the world for free. Plus, please remember to subscribe and hit the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube so you're notified every time we release a new video, and we release new videos all the time. Hey, Jason here. In today's Value Investing in Your Car episode, I'm going to analyze United States Steel Corporation, stock ticker X, for Cody S. on YouTube, who requests that I look at this stock. I've never looked at U.S. Corp or U.S. Steel before. I've never even gotten past this key ratios page or past this quote page on the stock before. So what I'm going to show you here is the preliminary analysis, visual preliminary analysis that I do on all stocks. Before I get into this, again, after the first few videos I made like this, I need to put a caveat in here. Yes, there is more to analysis than this. This is my preliminary analysis checklist that I go through. These are the things that I notice on a preliminary analysis. If a company does not meet my or surpass what I require for investment on my visual preliminary analysis checklist, I do not further invest, or I do not further research it. So I don't care about things like what it's doing in terms of turning its operations around in the Cody video that we talked about, or those kind of things. This is, if a company does not surpass my threshold here, I don't even take the analysis further at all. So having said that, our other videos in this series so far, we've covered Cody, ExxonMobil, T-Mobile, IBM and its spinoff, and I feel like I'm forgetting another one. AT&T. AT&T is the other one. If you want to watch those videos, they will be linked below this. Okay. And I will probably reference some of those videos as well for context in the things I see here, and tell you to go to specific videos to learn about things like impairment, goodwill, write-downs, if it comes up in this case as well. Okay, so the first thing that catches my eye here is I'm actually surprised this market cap is so low. Again, I've never researched U.S. Steel, but I know the history behind it. Essentially founded by when Andrew Carnegie, back in the early 1900s, sold his company, Carnegie Steel, to J.P. Morgan. So it's been around for a long time. It used to just dominate the world in making of steel, so I'm frankly surprised that it only has a $2.2 billion market cap. Another thing that catches my eye here is it's selling below book value, which actually may be of some use depending on what its book value or what its balance sheet looks like, which we'll see in a minute. Nothing else here. Okay, bring up the key ratios tab. Revenues severely declined over the last decade. Not a good thing. Gross margins were pretty stable until this year with the coronavirus. Again, not surprising here. The margins falling, not a huge surprise, because as revenue declined, specifically related to this year in the coronavirus stuff, as revenue declines, costs typically don't decline as much unless you can cut a huge amount of costs, which most companies cannot, to keep current operations going without harming the business. So as revenues decline, cost essentially as a percentage of revenue go up, so margins and profitability falls, which leads to this negative $726 million in operating profit in the last 12 months. Most of this, of course, related to the coronavirus, the slowdown of the coronavirus. The reason that's important is because people are building less stuff, they're probably buying less stuff, which requires steel in this case. So that's why that's fallen. Operating profit margin has been consistently negative over the most of the last decade. About half of the time, a little bit over half the time, well, about half and half, it looks like, profitable, unprofitable. I look for anything above 10% on a consistent basis here. So this isn't even close to my threshold and what I look for here. Net profits, typically I don't care about this. I'm just using this to illustrate a point here. So it's negative $1.7 billion in net profit in the last year. And it's been consistently unprofitable on a net income basis. Earnings per share been consistently negative over the last decade while it's continued to pay a dividend. Not good. I talk about that in I think the Exxon video and the AT&T video, where I talk about the dividend or the earnings per share are supposed to be coming out of the or the dividends, sorry, are supposed to be coming out of the earnings per share from a healthy company. From this, I would guess that it's been issuing shares or more debt to sustain this dividend. And right here, it's been issuing more shares over the last decade in part to sustain this dividend. Again, not healthy. Book value per share, even though it's selling below book value per share, as we saw on the first screen, book value per share has fallen by about $10.39 over the last decade. Usually not a good sign, again, for reasons I talk about in the ExxonMobil video and the Cody video. Free cash flow. Negative most of the decade and negative $1.1 billion in the last 12 months. Again, not good on essentially any account here on really anything. None of these really surpass my threshold here. I want to see this above 10% on a consistent basis. I want to see operating margin. Sorry, I keep forgetting these are turned into podcasts, so I'm just showing here. So operating margin, I want to see these over 10% on a consistent basis. They don't reach that. I want to see shares typically falling over time. I want to see book value per share rising over time, because that's a kind of base level indicator for value. If this is declining over time, it means the value of the company is declining over time, which is why its market cap is so small, which I was a little bit surprised about when I first saw it. Okay, ROIC, hugely negative, negative most of the last decade. And again, because this, in this case, is lower than this, it automatically lets me know the company has a significant amount of debt, because ROIC is not levered by debt, while return on equity is. The higher this number is in relation to this number, the more debt the company has. So I can tell already the company has a significant amount of debt. And this is a perfect example, because normally we only see the positive side of leverage here when it comes to ROIC. For example, if this was reversed, if it was 19.5% positive, this would be 43.69% positive. This is also the negative power of leverage when not used properly, is it magnifies your losses here, from here to here. This is the negative power of leverage. Again, not a good thing. I look for 10% on a consistent basis on ROIC, but it's negative most of the last decade and negative 19.5% in the trailing 12-month period. Same thing, cash flow. I look for 5% on a consistent basis positive. This is negative 10.5% in the trailing 12-month period, and it's been negative most of the last decade. Does have a decent amount of cash compared to the balance sheet, but because of the huge spike here, I would guess that most of this is related to debt, which is, yes, long-term debt has seen a huge spike in the last 12 months and so that's how it's been raising cash to keep operations open, to continue its dividend that we already talked about, and it's doing that, it's continuing its dividend and continuing its operations through issuing more debt and issuing more shares. Again, not a healthy way to operate your business. This is in large part why its book value has declined over time, because it looks like it's likely either sold off assets or had to write down assets. Again, I referenced those in the AT&T, the Cody, and the ExxonMobil video. I explained more fully what those mean. And then cash conversion cycle is important here, but not super important. So I'm going to get in that in another video when it's more important. It's a good thing that it's fallen, but it's essentially about the same as the last decade. It's fallen significantly since 2015 due to lower levels of inventory combined with a longer payables period. And again, I'll explain this more fully because that's not a good thing either in another video, though, when it's more important. Okay, go back here. Bring up the financials and the valuation tabs. And while these are loading, I can already tell that it's most likely to not be able to read the valuation because of the unprofitability. And I'll tell you how I kind of evaluate a stock when that happens. Okay. Major red flag here. Negative 7.3 interest coverage ratio. This interest coverage ratio measures the ability of a company to pay the interest on its debts with current profits. What this means when it's negative is that essentially with current earnings, it can't cover its interest payments on its current debt with its net income. When this happens, either a company has to issue debt or issue shares, which we've already talked about and it's already doing, to continue operating, or it goes bankrupt. So what essentially U.S. Steel is doing here, because this is negative, is it's issuing shares and debt to not only sustain current operations, to sustain the dividend, but it's also issuing shares and issuing debt to pay off its past debt. Again, not a good situation to be in. Not a healthy situation whatsoever for a company to be in. For example, any number above positive 1 here, this is negative 7.3, rounded up. Any number above positive 1 indicates that the company can pay off its current or pay its current interest with its current earnings. And of course, being negative 7, that means it cannot do that. Okay. As in net debt, it has about, what is that, $3.5 billion in net debt, subtracting total debt of $5.8 billion from total cash of $2.3 billion. Net debt of about $3.5 billion, which is more than its entire market cap right now. When you see that, it's pretty rare when you see that, but it's not good. Essentially what that means is after you subtract the net debt, again, the net debt here, not even just the total debt, the net debt, after subtracting all cash, it means that after you subtract the debt from the company, that its shares are essentially worth zero, which I'll illustrate when we get to the equity. Okay, anything else here? Huge spike in cash due to the debt, like we already talked about. It's issuing more debt to, again, not only to do the other things, but also to raise more cash so it can fund working capital and continuing operations. I'll have to go back and look at this, the annual part for the goodwill and intangible assets to see the fall there that I talked about earlier. Current debt. $150 million long-term debt. So that's about, was it 5.8, I think, rounded up in debt. So it's showing $3.7 billion in total equity. How is it doing that? That high of a number is a little bit of a surprise, considering how much debt the company has. So one way, it's long-term investments. I would need to go to the financials. If I was going to research this company further, I would need to go to financials to figure out exactly what those are. And partially in, where's the net number? Net intangible assets, partially there. But mainly, it's coming from the property, plant, and equipment. Again, I've read a lot about Andrew Carnegie and the still business, so I know for an almost certain fact that unless something's massively changed in the last 100 years in terms of steelmaking, this equipment needs to be changed and maintained and kind of upgraded constantly, which lowers the value of this. So just because they show net property, plant, and equipment as $5.7 billion here doesn't mean it necessarily worth that in a real-world sense. I would say at best, this is probably worth half that value. And what I'm basing this on is an asset reproduction valuation situation. I would discount this by probably about half. Because again, not only the asset reproduction valuation kind of thinking and being conservative, but also because of what I know about the steel business and these machines and equipment needing to be upgraded, maintained, bought new pretty much constantly. They don't hold their value because they're being used in a hard manner to create steel. So this, I would say at best, would be half the value. And if you do that, that brings it to almost negative equity value. Again, which we talked about earlier, which means the shares that you're buying on the market is essentially worth less than zero. Another big factor is their total inventories. And also their receivables. Pretty much those should be counted on, because even in a dire situation, you can typically sell these at about 85% of their value. Inventories is a different story. Inventories, these would probably be half their value in my estimation as well. So that actually, subtracting about half the value from here in the inventories and half the value from here in the net property, plant, equipment, takes us to a negative equity value when considering the other debt. But still seeing that was a little bit surprising. And I hope that makes sense. Again, I reference this kind of thinking in some of the past videos, I think specifically the AT&T and ExxonMobil videos, maybe also the Cody one. I referenced my thinking a lot more of that in there. So if you want more detail on my thinking and why logically that makes sense to me, go and reference those videos. Because as I say in almost all these videos, the way I think about investments is far different from most other investors. Non-current liabilities. That's a big number. Oh, that's the debt. Okay. So I don't see much else here. We could keep going on the valuation here. So its valuation is super low, 2.65, 2.22, and unreadable. Unless they've not given their guidance for the rest of the year, which they may have. I don't know why that's not showing up. Massively undervalued here on these two metrics, 2.65 on PDE, 2.2 on price to cash flow. Again, as I talked about in the last video, I think on IBM, I don't really care about these too much because PE and price to cash flow, they do not include debt or cash. That's why I rely on this number a lot, EV to EBIT, enterprise value to EBIT. And that shows that it's slightly overvalued, or it's probably about fairly valued when considering the cash and the debt. I look for anything under the number 8 here. So this puts it slightly above that, which means it's about fairly valued when considering its debt and cash. And thinking as a total business owner, you want to know what those numbers are. Okay, so I don't see much else. We could go over the cash flow statement, but we already showed you that it's issuing debt and shares to sustain the business, so we don't really need to go there. So my final opinion on United States Steel is I wouldn't invest in this company in any fashion. Frankly, even if I could buy the whole company, not that I have $2 billion kind of sitting around, but that's the way I think as a total business owner, is if I could own this whole stock, would I want to? That's the mindset I put myself in when I evaluate any stock. And frankly, even if I could own this whole stock, I don't think I would, because of what I know, again, about the steel business. And it's not as profitable as it was 100 years ago because of the increased competition, because of the antitrust stuff that went on after Carnegie sold it to JP Morgan. It's just not as profitable. There's more competition, not only in the U.S., but worldwide. So it's not nearly as profitable even before this crisis as it was 100 years ago. And because it's unprofitable, has a lot of debt, has more debt than more net debt than the market cap, and is overvalued on an EV to EBIT basis, there's essentially zero margin of safety here. And that means you should expect to earn lower returns owning a stock. It makes the stock riskier and all those things that we talked about in investing and value investing. So I hope this helped. Cody, yes, thanks for the great recommendation here. This was interesting to go through. I hope everybody else learned a lot. If I missed something, if you think I should have done something better, if I should explain something better, let me know in the comments below. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like, love, share, subscribe, and comment, and hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we release a new video, and we release new videos all the time. If you're listening on the podcast, like, love, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Really appreciate a review as well, because the more reviews, views, and listens we get, the more people we can help with this kind of content. And if you're looking for ways to become a better value investor or to get better at it, evaluating and valuing stocks, I have some free resources below, five free gifts, including my valuation templates that I've developed over the last 14 years. You can also get access to my 7 tips guide to picking great stocks and 3 times you must sell. And also you can get a free copy of my book, a PDF copy of my book, How to Value Invest for Free, at the links below. And also if you're looking if you want to kind of a mentor and you want to learn how to evaluate stocks better, faster, with some help from me, we also have access or information for our masterclass at the link below this as well. But until next time, have a great day. Talk soon. Bye.